Good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. This is Frank Fowler, pastor of Trinity Church in the heart of Hackettstown. Once again, waking up on a Monday morning, looking at my calendar, and it said, go to WRNJ. And gladly, I have come here once again, as I have for many Mondays past, to share with you around some topics and themes that we always hope and plan to be interesting, informative, inspirational, and helpful on the journey of life. We hope that the topics we cover help you think a little bit more deeply about issues in life. It's a busy life, but hopefully this little interlude of thought will help us to all live life just a little better. But always, I like to start the program checking in with Mike, Morning Mike, who takes us through the early mornings, as he did again today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Frank. How are you today?
I am well. I have to tell you that as I listen to you when I wake up, I always turn the radio on. And first of all, thanks for the promos for Let's Talk About It. And that's always helpful on Monday to wake people up and start them thinking about this time block. But also, I've got to tell you, I just love your laugh with Tom Note. Now, you notice I say what I love. I love your laugh.
Yes.
And you know, the topics sometimes go but you guys have so much fun. I think you get us all chuckling.
Well, and I'm glad you enjoy
and
that.
And that's all natural and unrehearsed.
Exactly. We do not script anything.
You just toss out that history piece.
Most people could tell that nothing is scripted. You would be able to tell that.
Well, yeah, at times it's like, where are they going now?
My only plan is to try and keep the boat upright at all times.
Okay.
That's all I'm looking for.
You know, in all these years, Tom's been on, and I've never met Tom Note.
Okay.
Have you?
I have met him once, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. But
an interesting chap.
I'm sure he is. We all are unique, right?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And different. But how's your weekend been?
Oh, very nice. Very nice, yeah.
I heard you talking about leaves.
Yes, and the autumnal contravortex that I had this weekend.
Did you make that up?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah. It was really...
But it was the oddest thing. I mean, no matter which way I blew the leaves, they would be just blowing right back at me. How can the wind do that?
Well, there's probably some answer. Did Frank Lombardo give
no,
you any?
No, he just laughed. He did. He says, oh, it's happened to him, too. So, yeah, all right. Well, yeah. In that case, then.
I'm kind of hoping we're getting close to the end. How many more times will you be raking?
Oh, probably a few. As I've gotten older, I've noticed that leaves, just like trees, are just like people. All of them are different, and some, you know, are completely bare already. And yet here I look out the window behind you, Frank, and I can see one that still has all of its leaves yet.
And leaves are like people in that some, and trees are like people in that some are nutty, right?
Some are nutty.
We have black walnuts in our trees, and man, when they hit the roof of the house. Mm-hmm. It's like a bomb goes off.
And it's been a good year for acorns, too, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So the squirrels are therefore out.
It's almost like walking on marbles on my patio out back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's been a very good year for them.
Good. Well, Mike, we've got a couple of guests this morning that you're going to be connecting with on the phone throughout. We're going to be talking with Mark McVeigh. Mark is a Broadway singer who is going to be on our program very briefly today just to say a quick hello. And then he is the featured guest next Monday, all of which is unique because he's going to be coming to Hackettstown and Trinity Church on November 15th to share a message in music. I'm very pleased to have this outstanding man whose gift of music is well known through over 3,000 performances in Les Mis, singing the role of Jean Valjean. Thrilled to have him come to Trinity. So we'll be talking to him a little bit today, a fascinating life. And then next week we'll talk more, and then we'll have him in our midst on the 15th. Then the second part of our program today, we'll be talking with the Reverend Lou Strigala. Last week, as we well remember, lots of media attention given to the 3-year anniversary of Superstorm Sandy. And Lou Strigala is going to be with us because he's been the construction director for the United Methodist relief effort called A Future with Hope. And he's going to be talking with us about what's been accomplished, what's going on right now in continuing efforts to renew and rebuild the shore, as well as tell us where we're going to be going in the future. There's still a lot of need, folks, and that's what we want to lift up today. But also want to let you know about a couple of things going on over at Trinity Church starting this Saturday. We have a craft fair, and many of you are very interested in and enjoy these craft fairs. Our administrative assistant, Patty Huff at Trinity Church, has been coordinating this for the United Methodist Women, and we have no room for any more crafters, so it is a full house of crafters, and all we need now is a full house of visitors, buyers, walking throughers and people who like to just, like me, stand and stare and say, how did they make that out of this or that item? So the craft fair at Trinity Church is this Saturday. It's going to be going on from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I invite you to come over to Star Hall, parking in the rear, the main side entrance. You can't miss it. Lots of good food for sale as well. In addition to that, and speaking of food, a special event's coming up in support of one of Trinity's most enjoyable and popular mission efforts, and that's the Appalachian Service Project. The ASP teams have been going from Trinity Church to Southern Appalachia to repair and rebuild the homes of some of America's poorest citizens for some 25 years. Once again next summer, we'll be sending a team of youth and adults for this week-long service project. In order to do that, there's always fundraisers, and that's why today we're letting you know about the Roast Beef Dinner fundraiser coming up on Saturday, November 14th. It's from 4:30 to 7 o'clock, and adult tickets are just $12. Children are $7. Under 6, kids eat free. But here's the important point for this hour. We're going to be giving away 2 free tickets to this at one of our breaks throughout the rest of the program. We'll simply take a call, and whoever does call in for those tickets, the first person to call in will receive these 2 free tickets, a value of $24. If you pay attention throughout the program, just listen when I invite you to give a call. Mike will take the first caller. Then we're going to be doing the same thing with 4 tickets next Monday. So we have 6 tickets total, 2 today, 4 next week, all aiming towards Saturday, November 14th, when we'll be having this fundraising dinner. It's always a great event, a lot of fun, excellent food, and a good cause as you support the Appalachian Service Project. So with those things in mind, let's now turn our attention to our semantic segment.
It's time for Why Do We Say That? With your host, Frank Feller.
That's me. And Mike, did you know that when Terry went to the amusement park with his friends, everybody thought he was just such a wet blanket?
Okay.
He was down, he was depressing, he was dull, he was humorless. And they came away saying, I hope he doesn't come the next time. He's such a wet blanket. You ever called anybody a wet blanket, Mike?
I've been called a wet blanket.
Oh, that hurts. Ouch. Well, why do we say that, folks? It comes from an early 19th century expression, and it comes from the Native American tradition, because back then, everybody had campfires on a regular basis in this country, and so when they put out their campfires, they would dip their blankets in water in the nearest river, and they would put out their fire with a wet blanket. Fire, then, now, and often is used to represent passion, excitement, enthusiasm. And so the idea is, in this phrase that we use, that a wet blanket is someone who's a wet blanket. They kind of put out the joy and the enthusiasm and the passion that's around. So if somebody calls you a wet blanket, folks, it's not a good thing. And now you know.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the answer to why we say that.
When we come back, we're going to be connecting with Mark McVeigh, chatting with him just briefly today and a lot more next Monday about his ensuing visit to Trinity Church. Mark's the Broadway singer that some of you, and I'm guessing, I saw on Broadway as he sang Jean Valjean. We'll check in with Mark a little bit after these messages.
More Let's Talk About It after this on your local station, RNJ.
And welcome to Bellagiorno Catering in Belvedere. If you're planning a wedding or a special event, Bellagiorno Catering will make it all easy, elegant, and effortless. Easy because the all-inclusive pricing simplifies your choice. And an elegant facility created specifically for the special events of your life, surrounded by terraced gardens and artistically landscaped courtyards, magically complemented by the picturesque Pequest River flowing gently by, and a gazebo for an intimate outdoor ceremony. Bellagiorno, after all, is Italian for beautiful day. And for the bride on her wedding day, Bellagiorno provides a bridal assistant to keep the bride on schedule, easing her through the demands of pictures, dancing, special toasts, and every detail that adds up to a perfect day. And at Bellagiorno, your wedding is the only wedding. To see just how beautiful, go to BellagiornoCatering.com or call 908-475-0084.
Remember last winter? Sorry to bring it up. Your boiler barely limped through, right? Well, why walk the tightrope again this winter when you have time now to service or even replace your old heating units? Are you waiting for more of this? Bad idea. The time to do it is now, especially if your furnace or boiler is 20 years old or more, because there are some new units out there that are so much more efficient, they can help cut your heating bills. Here's what you do. Call Gallagher's Plumbing and Heating and have them take a look. Won't cost you a dime. Get a free estimate on what it would be to replace your current heating system. And if you're thinking about converting from oil to gas, that happens to be one of Gallagher's specialties. Gas burns cleaner, runs quieter, can be more efficient, and with natural gas, you'll never worry about running out of fuel. Plus, you'll pay for your fuel as you use it instead of paying big bucks to fill up a big tank. So get started. Call Gallagher's Plumbing and Heating. The people who, yep, take their shoes off. Gallagher's, 852-1700.
Why stay local and shop in Hackettstown? Because we've got great stores like these.
Hi, this is Robin Jensen with Edward Jones. Most successful investors make their money not overnight, but over time, using a specific set of guidelines. At Edward Jones, we call these guidelines the rules of the road, and I'll share them with you every weekday morning on WRNJ.
Find Westside Hair Care on Facebook and stay updated with the latest specials and news from Westside Hair. Or stop by Westside on Steiner Street for the latest trends in hair design for the whole family.
Hey, it's Brian at the Grove Deli and Cafe on Willow Grove Street in Hackettstown, right across from HRMC. Our specialty sandwiches are epic. We offer homemade soups, creative salads, and daily lunch features. This is the place for breakfast or lunch. Get into the groove at the Grove.
Every time you shop locally, it stimulates the local economy, preserves local jobs, and promotes a sense of community. And that is good for all of us. A message from your friends at the Hackettstown Business Improvement District.
This is Let's Talk About It, and Reverend Frank Fowler is back to do just that on your local station.
And we are glad you're with us, hoping that you will pay close attention to our next conversation with Mark McVeigh, because as you listen to Mark today, you then realize you're going to be able to listen to Mark in a week, as he's going to be a featured guest next Monday, and then he's going to be here at Trinity Church in Hackettstown on the 15th. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Great to chat again, Mark. You and I have been chatting a couple of times over the last 6 months in preparation for your visit to Trinity Church in Hackettstown on the 15th. But certainly today, great to kind of chat and get to know you and let our listeners get to know you a little bit more. And then we'll pick it up and do even more next week. So, Mark, you are well known, and our listeners have been hearing both at Trinity Church, but especially this morning, about some of the incredible accomplishments you have made, especially on Broadway, singing Jean Valjean for over 3,000 performances. You've been at Carnegie Hall. You've sung with the Philharmonic Orchestras of Boston and other cities. When, Mark, did you find early on in life that you had a special musical gift? How did it all start?
Well, it all started in Huntington, West Virginia. My mother and father were members of the First Methodist Church on Fifth Avenue in Huntington, West Virginia. That's where we were raised. And my brothers and sister and I all sang in the church choir, and we were the child soloists, I guess, if you would call it that way. And I was the voice soprano until about 12 years old, and you know what happens then. So I came by it very honestly and very early in life. I guess probably 4 years old, I remember, was the first time I remember in my little blue and white robe standing in front of the church singing Jesus Loves Me. So
wow.
That's my first memory of it, and it's been hard to get me off the stage from this point, actually, Frank. So.
You know, I'm thinking of my own memories. I don't think I've mentioned, as we've chatted, the church where I currently serve here in Hackettstown. This is my home church. And I remember it was called the Carol Choir. Our robes were white, and I remember standing in front of the church in the children's choir. Unfortunately, my career went a different direction than yours. I sing in the choir, in the shower mostly now.
I don't know. Is that fortunate or unfortunate?
When did you know as a child that you really loved this? I mean, a lot of kids sing in church choirs, but you have just made this your life's passion.
Well, I have to look at my parents. My mom, in particular, was a wonderful singer, and She was the adult solo, the soprano soloist, and she and her friends there in the community started the Musical Arts Guild, which is still in existence in Huntington. And my mom and dad also started an organization called ARTS. It's called Art Resources for the Tri-State. So another kind of not-for-profit organization that really really put out as much good and positive word as they possibly could about finding your gifts and about being involved in things other than math, science, and football.
Yeah, yeah. And when would you, when would you say you got your first big break, your first wow moment?
I would say my first wow moment was playing Billy Bigelow, I guess, in Carousel in college. That was the best time that I had had at that to that point, and that really kind of solidified the idea of getting into theater and you know, musical theater.
Yeah, yeah.
To that point, I had done things in my church, you know, Godspell and A Mall and a Night Visitor.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I love that.
You know, things like that with my mom and with the church group, Two by Two, you know, the story of Noah. Until I broke out into doing some of the secular musicals, that's the first time that I had, I guess, the experience of other people other than those in the church who I already knew loved me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and
they'd applaud it no matter what, right?
That's right. Whether I sing well or not, they're all going to go, oh, wow, what a great job, you know.
Yep. That's super. So then in college, and how did you get started on Broadway? What was that moment? You were selected, obviously, after auditions, and wow, the rest is history. But how did it all start on Broadway?
I started, it was a dream, actually. My dad gave me some really good advice, Frank. He said, you know, you're a good singer, Mark, and I know that this is going to work for you, but just in case it doesn't, you might want to think about having a plan B. And I did go to school there in Huntington, West Virginia, at Marshall University,
mm-hmm.
and I got a degree in marketing, finally. I was on the six-year plan, but all through that time, I was fronting local bands and trying to do as much theater as possible, and then I did this thing up in Winfield, West Virginia, the West Virginia or the Mountaineer Dinner Theater is what it was called, and we did the show called "They're Playing Our Song," and that was my first professional job. And that was when I was introduced to Marvin Hamlisch's music. And I didn't really know that that was going to actually be key for me in my lifetime. There was an experience that solidified my desire to do something other than marketing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of put my degree in the bottom drawer of my desk and moved to New York right after I graduated. And that was really the, I guess, the pivotal desire point, right? You know, to maybe I can make this more than just fun. And maybe I can do something with this. And if I don't do it now, I feel like I'm going to be sorry.
Mm.
And so I headed to New York, and it was the right move for me, Frank. It was something that I got that confirmation pretty early on. I was hired at the, you know, I had just really come from the Mountaineer Dinner Theater, and I went up into an area of Connecticut called Darien, Connecticut, and I got a job. Within 3 weeks of being in New York City, I was working at the Darien Dinner Theater. So it was actually really very quick. The entire process wasn't like that. It was 3-4 years, I guess, before I started really making bigger noise, louder noise,
yeah.
in the industry. But I was working, which was you know, a blessing at that point, because you just simply can't exist in New York City without working.
Yeah, and certainly following your dream is what this is all about. And I love that fatherly advice. You might want to get a backup plan. That sounds like something I would
B
say.
Yeah, Plan B is what he called it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to have that in a book at some point, I'm sure. And it's been written, I would imagine, 150,000 times by now. But it is good advice, you know, to always have something. But, you know, in our existence as human beings, you know, we have all kind of had a very similar upbringing. You know, the social norms or the parental upbringing that we've had in this day and time has all kind of been, guided, I guess, by the use of our five senses. And we kind of forget sometimes about that sixth sense, which is that spiritual sense. And so that's kind of what I've been, you know, really wanting to learn more about and share more about, because my folks helped me to find that at an early age. And it's really important because, you know, we those dreams, they're put in our heads, you know, of course, by the things that we find that we're good at, but they're put in our heads also by our Creator. So
yeah. Yeah,
it's important, I think, that people really know that we are spiritual beings first and human beings second, and all of those gifts that we're given, it's our responsibility to find out what they are and to use them to the best of our ability and to His glory. So if we continue to do that, then we're at least ahead of the game.
Well, you certainly have blessed a lot of people with your gifts, and you're going to be continuing to do that when you come to Hackettstown. We're going to close off our brief conversation today, Mark, and certainly pick it up next Monday morning. But we want our listeners and folks to focus on that visit you'll be making on the 15th, singing in the Trinity Sanctuary at 9:15 and 10:45. So I certainly look forward to more conversation. Before we close, I bring greetings to you from some folks. Mark, yesterday morning I was in a new member class. Some folks joined the church, and we have a post-membership class. And I was chatting with them and telling them to be sure to mark this date on their calendar. And Hope and David Dingley said, "Oh, yeah, we know Mark."
How wonderful.
So wonderful.
I just saw a note from Hope and David as well to Christy. From a concert that we do every summer here in Ridgewood, just for our town, and Hope and David always come out, and they sent us the photographs from the local paper.
Okay, good.
A little note. I'm so happy.
Yep, you'll see him in person when you visit in 2 weeks. Well, Mark.
How wonderful.
Great. Well, we'll continue the conversation. You'll be our featured guest on Let's Talk About It next Monday morning. But thanks for this little preview, and hope you have a great week. We'll talk more. Thanks for your time today, Mark. God bless you.
My absolute pleasure, Pastor Frank. I appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, folks, that's just kind of the appetizer, and the main meal will be on the 15th. Not sure what next Monday is in this metaphor that's breaking down very quickly, but Mark will be back with us next Monday morning. So give some thought to maybe what you'd like to know about his career, his life, and so forth. Mark McVeigh has had some fascinating musical experiences. He'll be our guest next Monday. We're going to be taking a break now, then shifting gears and talking after the break with Lou Stragala, the construction director for A Future with Hope, about Sandy relief efforts. Stay with us.
Reverend Frank Fowler will be back to talk about it in just a few minutes on RNJ.
Warren County needs strong leadership to oversee the preservation of our county's buildings and infrastructure, to stand up against Trenton's unfunded mandates, and to speak strongly for Highlands Act reform. Freeholder Ed Smith has provided that leadership and was chosen by the New Jersey Conference of Mayors to be their Freeholder of the Year for 2015.
I'm Ed Smith, and I'm asking for your vote on November 3rd to reelect me to be your Warren County Freeholder.
Paid for by Ed Smith for Freeholder.
Hi, it's Peter, owner and chef of Blackstone's Bar and Grill. Where can you find a good steak around here? At Blackstone's. We'll cook your ribeye to perfection, and we serve prime rib every Thursday night. If you prefer hanger steak, it's always on the menu. We feature filet mignon on frequent specials. We may specialize in Italian fare, but wait till you try one of our steaks. Blackstone's Bar and Grill, just a mile west of Hackettstown on Route 46.
A proposition, if you will, from Riviera Limousine in Hackettstown. They want you to enjoy your holidays as much as possible this year, so they'll leave you to the business of having a great time if you let them do the driving. Whether you need a limo for two or a party bus for 45, Riviera Limousine is your connection to a great time and a safe ride. You can stop into their office, Route 46 Hackettstown, next to Hackettstown Animal Hospital, or go online and check out their complete fleet of limos. Riviera Limousine, the best in limousine transportation.
Brought to you by the General Store Cafe in Alamuchi, where Pizza Bandits means two large pies for just $14.99.
The first week of November looks like it'll be bringing us some milder temperatures. Today's high reaching 60 to 65, partly sunny out there. Clear tonight, going down to 40 to 45 by morning. Plenty of sunshine around Tuesday as well. The high tomorrow around 70, then clear at night, 45 to 50. And Wednesday, mostly sunny in the 70s. I'm meteorologist Frank Lombardo on your local station, WRNJ.
Reverend Frank Fowler and his guest are back to talk about it some more on RNJ.
Remember, before this program's over, we'll give you the opportunity to win two free tickets to the Trinity Church Appalachian Service Project Roast Beef Dinner, November 14th. Stay tuned when you hear me invite your calls. You can call in. The number's 908-852-1234. We shift gears now, having chatted briefly with Mark McVeigh, who'll be with us next Monday morning and again at Trinity Church singing on the 15th. But we turn our attention now to a friend, a colleague, a highly respected pastor in New Jersey for his work on Superstorm Sandy relief. Good morning, Lou Stragala.
Good morning, Frank. How are you this morning?
Very well, Lou. Thanks for being with us. You were with us on the radio about 2 years ago or so as the United Methodist Church in New Jersey did what Methodists do very well. When people hurt, Methodists help. And so you accepted the responsibility of being the construction director for A Future with Hope, which is the organization seeking to repair and rebuild the New Jersey shore. So what we're looking for today, Lou, first of all, is an update about how that work is going. But tell our listeners kind of what you have been doing in this role for a couple of years now.
Basically, Frank, thank you for inviting me back. And it's a ministry of the United Methodist Church. A Future with Hope is an organization that was created to do the rebuilding after Sandy. We have completed over 190 homes, and that's full remodels where we go in and do the superstructure, such as plumbing and electrical, and all the decorative, the drywall, the flooring, et cetera. We've done several elevations. And last Thursday, we had a house blessing for our first brand-new modular home because we're able to help folks stretch their government grant dollars and get them into a home that they couldn't otherwise do on their own. And it's all by the grace of God and the volunteers that come from all over the world to help rebuild after the storm.
Now, the United Methodist Church has been recognized throughout the last 2.5 years as being a leader in the quality, the efficiency of getting this work done, Lou. Tell us a little bit, give us some stories of how it is that with government grants, insurance money, and so forth, but many people have simply found their way to A Future with Hope because we have been so efficient and effective, and maybe we're blowing our own horn, but that's okay, because again, this is not something alien to the church. When people hurt, we help. So folks have kind of found their way. How did people get to the Future with Hope? How has that worked?
We've done things as far as we've always had a phone number for people to call and a website for people to refer to. We work very, very collaboratively with many different denominations and long-term recovery groups. We have gone out and actually physically canvassed areas such as Tuckerton and Mystic Island, and right now we're working with a partner agency, World Renew, which is a mission outpost of the Dutch Reformed Church, and they're out canvassing Brick and Toms River, going door to door to make sure that people in need are getting help. So we're very proactive about it. We're not just sitting back waiting for people to come to us. And our churches. I mean, we've got over 550 churches here in New Jersey, and people know that when they need help, they can come and ask us, and then we get the phone calls and go out and assess the the situation and see how far we can help.
And it all started with the bishop of our church calling for this structure, this organization called A Future with Hope. But it took money to get things started. Talk to us a little bit about the fundraising efforts so that this great work could happen.
There are several fundraising components. One is UMCOR, the United Methodist Commission on Relief, and they early on raised money on behalf of New Jersey and sent us several million dollars to help in the rebuilding effort. We have received grants from the Robin Hood Foundation, from Mrs. Christie's Fund, from the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army. Recently, Major League Baseball donated towards a project. And because we strive to do things the right way and we don't take shortcuts, there's a lot of respect there. So when an organization perhaps doesn't spend the money that they've been allocated, the funders will come to us and say, can you use this to get someone home, and then reallocate the funds toward us? And it's been a fantastic environment. Plus, our local churches have engaged in a mission campaign for about the last 2 years where they're looking to raise, I believe the figure was $7 million locally to help with our own neighbors.
Sure, sure. And certainly Trinity Church here in Hackettstown has participated there. When this first came out, churches were invited to make a pledge toward this. And I'm proud to say Trinity Church leaders made a pledge of $67,000 over a three-year period. We've paid out already $55,000, sending that money to A Future with Hope. In addition, other sources of funds have come in, and more money is still needed. So is it true to say the fundraising still goes on?
The fundraising still goes on, and as the funds that initially came in dwindle, and forgive me for saying it this way, but we're no longer the disaster of the month. People lose sight that there are still many, many people hurting in New Jersey. The latest number we got from the Division of Consumer Affairs was approximately 9,000 people still need to have their homes rebuilt. Now, some of them will do it on their own through insurance proceeds, grants, et cetera. But there are many, many people, the elderly, the handicapped, the low income, that don't have a solution if we're not involved. So Methodists also tend to stay for the long haul. We don't disappear, and we're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
This is a disaster that, in comparison, Katrina is now 10 years old, and there are still 14,000 homes that need to be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
In New Jersey, if we've got 9,000, that's still a lot of people out of their home. And we're going to do the best we can. But yes, fundraising is a very important component.
And of course, the focus you mentioned, but we want to be clear that the A Future with Hope, that the work that the Methodist Church has been doing for 2.5 years has been focusing on the homes of senior citizens, the disabled, low-income people, those in the most severe economic challenges. And so we've been helping those who have needed that help most. Well, Lou, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I ask you to continue sharing a little bit. Next, thinking about the volunteers, because while some people are paid on staff of the Future with Hope organization, the work has been done by lots of volunteers. We'd love for you to give us word about some of the volunteers after this break. And also, folks, just as I mentioned before, now during this upcoming break, the first person to give a call looking for those roast beef dinner tickets, Mike will take your name. We'll give you two tickets to the November 14th ASP dinner. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Talk About It on RNJ. Reverend Frank Fowler will return to talk to his guests right after these messages.
Have you ever ordered flowers online and have them fade and wilt within 24 hours? Or have them not show up at all? Well, don't let that happen to you. Call Calico Country Flowers on Willow Grove Street. Not only are they local, they have actual people to help you make a decision. And they're open 7 days a week. So even if you've waited until the last minute to order flowers, Calico will graciously help you out. Their flowers are fresh, beautiful, and artistically designed. Plus, the staff are always cheerful and willing to help. You can't get that kind of personal attention online. Check out Calico Country Flowers the next time you need a special gift. Fast, fresh, and friendly. A winning combination. Calico Country Flowers, a local shop with worldwide connections. Call 908-852-0556. Right down the street from Hackettstown Regional Medical Center, open 7 days a week.
The hard work and renovations are nearly done, so it's time to invite you to celebrate the new Bentley Commons at Paragon Village, Thursday, November 5th, with cocktails, delectable cuisine, and live entertainment. You won't believe what the new owners have done with the place. There'll be tours of the assisted, independent, and memory care areas, the newly renovated library, theater, activity rooms, and bistro, accompanied by live entertainment, gourmet food stations, and cocktails. You'll speak with the residents, the staff, and the new corporate management to gain their insights on the vibrant life that is Bentley Commons at Paragon Village, located at the top of the hill on Route 46 East in Hackettstown. If interested in attending the celebration, RSVP to 908-498-0118 or just Google for the main number of Bentley Commons at Paragon Village. There's a celebration coming Thursday evening from 5:30 till 8, and they'd love you to be a part of it.
Hi, my name is Liana, and I work for Topo Restaurant on Main Street in Hackettstown. If you can believe it, we're celebrating our second anniversary. And to mark the occasion, Jay has created a new brunch menu for Saturdays and Sundays from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. If you'd like a special coupon, visit us on Facebook or go to our website, toporestaurant.net. Topo, T-O-P-O, at the corner of Main Street and Church Street in downtown Hackettstown. Please come celebrate with us.
Now back to Let's Talk About It on RNJ with your host, Reverend Frank Fowler.
And now is your opportunity to win those two free tickets to the November 14th Appalachian Service Project Dinner. Two tickets valued at $24. Give a call, 908-852-1234. We'll be happy to give them out to the first caller. And that's going to continue until somebody calls in. So 852-1234 if you'd like those tickets. Lou Stragala, you've been working hard. You're full-time working, right?
Yes.
Okay, you've been the construction director, and you know about as much as there is to know. But you have not done the work all yourself. These 190 homes have been completed through the work of volunteers. Talk to us about who the volunteers have been, where they've come from, and what kinds of things they have been doing.
The people are coming from all over the country. We've had volunteers from at least 38 states. We've hosted over 10,000 to date.
Wow.
And they come in anywhere from, honestly, a day trip all the way to, in many cases, 3 weeks at a time, or in the case of our Mennonite friends, they come in for six-month intervals.
Wow.
And it's a wonderful scenario. We are able to host them. We're able to give them the work that is satisfying, but more than anything, that gets people home. And once they experience the interaction with the homeowner, the folks are blessed in so many ways, and the stories are just incredible.
Now, let's break it down so folks can get the big picture. When you say your Mennonite friends stay for 6 months, where do they stay?
They, through their Christian Service Project, have rented a home in Mystic Island. And what happens is that you'll have a group of six young men, and that's part of their mission. They will come in and spend 6 months at a time, but they'll alternate out one every month. So there's constantly new blood coming in.
Hmm.
And that's just their being supportive of the survivors in New Jersey.
Sure, sure. Now, these folks aren't all construction experts. Tell us how that skill level varies and how it's organized.
The skills can be anywhere from someone who wants to literally push a broom to people that are expert carpentry finishers, drywallers, you name it. We've had every gamut. And it's by the reason I say it's by the grace of God that we are able to do what we do is every Monday morning we have a brand new staff. And to put it in comparison, an average remodeling contractor can do 30 to 40 homes a year with a good crew, people that he's used to, people that know how to work through things. We have a new staff every Monday morning, and by 11 o'clock, we strive for them to be productive. And the reputation that we have for our quality speaks for itself. People come into the homes and look at them, and if you go on our website, you'll see it. The quality is something that we'd all be proud to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all through the volunteers. They come in, and the only marching orders they have is make it good enough that you would want to live there.
Wow.
And
wow.
Because of the love in their hearts, they do the best they can. And we give them guidance when necessary, and sometimes we may have to shift a few folks around. But for the most part, people want to do the best they can.
And, of course, professional things like electrical are done by licensed electricians and all. So this has to do with a lot of organization and coordination. Is that one of your functions?
It is. I serve as construction director and spiritual advisor. And part of it is I had more than 20 years' experience as a general contractor before I went into ministry. So I was pretty easy to tap when the disaster hit.
Sure, sure.
And when a bishop asked, it was just God using me in the form that I need to be used.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that your office is your vehicle?
Yes, sir, it is, and has been since day one.
Yeah, up and down the coast, mostly at the shore. Where are you most working right now on the Jersey Shore?
Originally, we were working all the way from Bergen County to Cape May County, and now it's dwindled pretty much from Monmouth County to a little bit in Cape May County. But Monmouth, Ocean, and Atlantic County is our primary focus at this point.
And you said 9,000 people still need to have their homes rebuilt. So these are people who are homeless or living with friends or family?
Yes. They could vary. We know of one person who was sleeping on the floor of her son's home, a very modest home. We have other people. I won't say they're homeless to the extent that they're sleeping in the street, but the living conditions they have to deal with are harsh. Even if people have to stay in a hotel, you can't really cook there. You spend money going out to eat or taking care of basic needs, laundry, et cetera, that you would be doing when you were home. So it's very tough on these folks.
Sure, sure. Children involved too, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And we're trying to focus very much when we have a family that has children. The volunteers go out of their way to take some of the scraps that we have and build a playhouse or build a swing set. Because the children experienced a degree of loss that can't be rationalized. They just know that what they had isn't there anymore. And Bishop Scholl was very deliberate when he did a blessing of a home that we have to be focused on the children.
Mm-hmm. Certainly a very traumatic experience for them. The disruption is significant regarding schools and so forth. So certainly a lot of blessing for a lot of people. How much longer do you expect that you will be working on this and that the future will hopefully
go on? I would anticipate it could be several more years. We have the REM program, which is the government program, and they're still in the process of dealing with applications and issuing grants. And then you have typically 18 months afterwards to rebuild. The for-profit builders in the state are pretty much overloaded. There's a lot of work out there. And so, you know, when we can fit that and fill that niche of people that are hurting, and in this case, we're also picking up a lot of the vulnerable people, the people that perhaps have given a deposit to an unscrupulous contractor, and the contractor hasn't done the job or disappeared. Someone needs to help them, and it's falling towards the faith-based organizations to be there for them as well.
Sure, sure. Well, Lou, we're going to take our final break. A couple of questions after the break, and then you can let our listeners know about the website and phone number if they want to participate. But share with us after the break, what's been the hardest part of this work for you personally, but also what's been the most joyful part? And before we take the break, we want to say congratulations to Mickey O'Connor, who called in first for those two free tickets to the Appalachian Service Project Roast Beef Dinner on the 14th. We'll be giving away four more tickets next Monday, as we'll be chatting again with Mark McVeigh, I mentioned earlier. But mark that date on your calendar. Whether you get these tickets or not, we hope you'll come along to the ASP Dinner November 14th at Trinity Church at 4:30. But thanks again for calling in, Mickey. We'll mail you your free tickets. Look forward to seeing you on the 15th. Now we'll take our last break and then finish our conversation with Lou Strigala.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It with Reverend Frank Fowler. Back to the program in just a few minutes.
The question gets asked all the time, do you know a good dentist? If you ask local resident Jamie Wesley that question, she'll tell you Dr. Gary Vandervliet at Advanced Dental Care of West Mars. But she'll also tell you she requires more than just a good dentist.
The staff makes a big difference to me. I can love a doctor, but if the staff is not friendly and courteous, I'm not going back, no matter how great the doctor is. And the staff is great. Always friendly. They ask about my family. Never feel rushed there. The hygienist is wonderful, and my kids go there. I recommend it all the time. I have a lot of people that go there now. To me, I would never go anywhere else.
Jamie, by the way, has a beautiful smile.
I have recommended Dr. Vandervliet and his expertise to many of my friends, and even sometimes I hear in, you know, locally, sometimes people say, oh, you know, do you know a great dentist? And I tell them they have to go to Dr. Vandervliet.
For more on Dr. Gary Vandervliet and Advanced Dental Care of West Morris, go to thehightechdentist.com.
Modesty is a funny thing. Much praised, but what's it done for you lately? Well, you now have a chance to cash in with a selfie of all things courtesy of your Hackettstown bid and the third annual Hackettstown Bid Scarecrow Contest. The biggest yet. 16 participating businesses decked out with a scarecrow salute to the big Star Wars movie opening next month. And there's a little something in it for you. Get creative. Capture your photogenic self with a scarecrow selfie, or 3, or 7, or a full 16. And email your best Star Wars scarecrow selfie shots to staff@hackettstownbid.com. The bid will upload your photos into a Facebook photo album for folks to peruse and like. The photo with the most likes as of November 11th will net its contributor $25 in Hackettstown Bid Bucks. Welcome to cash in any Hackettstown business. The address again, staff@hackettstownbid.com. And may the force be with you.
Thinking about buying a home? What type of loan? Start right here in Hackettstown at Absolute Home Mortgage, your local mortgage banker. Their employees take pride in our community and are always up to date with current mortgage and real estate trends with exceptional customer service. Absolute does more than get you a great loan at a great rate. They make it easy. Let Bob or Manny at Absolute Home Mortgage make your dreams come true. 176 Mountain Avenue or their new location on Main Street, or click on HackettstownMortgage.com.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It with Reverend Frank Fowler on your local station, RNJ.
From where I sit, folks, many people in our society today are giving the church a bad rap. People are losing interest, some say. Statistics show people are going to church less and that the role of the church in society might be diminishing. Everybody's pretty busy. There's a lot of things to do. But I really want to lift up the fact that whether it's a little church out in the country or a big church in the city, wherever it may be, churches continue to be a significant part of our social structure. They always have been, I trust and believe they always will be. And the value of local churches coming together to do what can't be done by one local church or even one local organization is being witnessed today as we're talking to Reverend Lou Stragala, the construction director for A Future with Hope, who as a United Methodist pastor 3 years ago accepted the responsibility and the appointment from our bishop to be this construction director to help lead the United Methodist response to Superstorm Sandy. And you've been hearing about what he's been involved with. To date, over 190 homes have been completed. People whose homes were completely destroyed, especially the homes of senior citizens, disabled, and low-income people. 190 people. That's a lot of homes, folks. Still, right now, the work goes on with some 30 homes being worked on and others for another 2 or 3 years, as 9,000 people still are out of their homes at the Jersey Shore. So, Lou, first, I want to say thank you, and certainly thanks to all in this effort, A Future with Hope. Let's close up with just your personal reflections. What's been the hardest part for you as someone who's in the trenches doing this work now for almost 3 years?
The hardest part is that the responsiveness of, and I'm not being a critic of the government, but the responsiveness of the government is a relatively slow response. And I understand the deliberateness, and we have to be very cautious about how funds are spent. But there are people that really need to go home. It's 3 years after the fact, and they're suffering. So seeing that suffering, knowing that there are funds out there, knowing that we just need to somehow expedite it, that's a frustrating thing for me. The joy of it is seeing people recognize that church, as you just said, does have a place in society at large, but that church is different than perhaps it was 40 or 50 years ago. Watching the youth come out, and we have literally thousands of youth come out, and they recognize Jesus in one another. And they sometimes have their first experience, much as back in the day you and I had a camping experience something along those lines. These youth are having it through working on people's homes and the interaction with the homeowners that perhaps lost their faith because of the storm or even prior to that. We deal with a lot of veterans that were struggling and suffering and now are just filled with hope and joy at seeing the goodness that people have. It's an experience that I always tell people I have the best appointment in the Methodist Church. It may be one of the hardest jobs, but it's the best because I get to see the best in everybody.
And certainly the people that you've been serving, Lou, have had those people. It's without consideration for any faith perspective. It's not you're only not serving Methodists by any means. It's when there's somebody hurting, we help them.
Yes, there's no restriction whatsoever. As long as they fit in one of either the economic or socioeconomic criteria. And as I said, lately, a lot of my time is consulting with people so that they don't get hurt and they don't misspend money that is very limited, and so they can get home. So we work collaboratively, and I think that's one of the other joys that I have is that we have become a leader in the state, and it's because we work with other people and other organizations. We don't fight and we don't compete. We just try to get people home, and it's all client-focused.
And certainly there are many people who look to you and to the volunteers, to the organization, with new respect and with new affection because you have given them hope. And that's really where we need to end here because the theme, A Future with Hope, comes right from the Bible, folks, in the Old Testament. It is this future with hope comes from a passage where God says, I will give you a future and a hope. And so this is a very spiritually based organization. Certainly it comes from the church who believes that God has a hope for us. And so, Lou, you've been able to literally turn the word hope into houses, and that those houses represent the new hope for people. So obviously lots of joy in spite of all the difficulties that you've faced. Let's let our listeners know how they can participate, whether is it a volunteer, learning more from the website, perhaps donating.
The best way is if people are computer savvy, afuturewithhope.org has all of the information. It has videos, and I strongly suggest your listeners watch some of the videos because they're testimony from the people that have been served. And our phone number is area code 732-359-1012 for any additional information. We're looking for volunteers on a regular basis. Donations are always appreciated. And believe me, we go out of our way because the Methodist Church covers a lot of the administrative costs. So Future with Hope can put a lot of the dollars right on the ground.
Wow. That's an important point to make, especially in these days when we're not always sure where our dollars are going. So once again, to learn more, afuturewithhope.org, the website, the number 732-359-1012 to learn more about A Future with Hope. Even if you aren't necessarily sure you want to donate or volunteer, just learn a little bit more because it's an inspiring story. And some of those videos, as I've watched them and shared them with others, Lou, have really lifted my spirits to let everyone know what good work is being done. So we thank you for that. And our music tells us our time's about up, Lou. So we'll say goodbye, wish you Godspeed in your continuing ministry, and certainly personally look forward to seeing you at the next opportunity we have to be together.
Thank you, Frank. God bless you and your listeners.
Thank you, Lou.
Bye-bye.
Well, as Mike Galley told us, a twofer today with Mark McVeigh kind of starting us off, reminding you that Mark will be on as our featured guest next week, learning more about his role as a Broadway performer. Going to be a fascinating interview, and then he'll be with us on the 15th here in Hackettstown. and then Lou Stragala talking about A Future with Hope, home repair at the Jersey Shore. Well, folks, thanks for being with us. I'm glad to be with you. And now this is Frank Fowler reminding you that this is WRNJ Hackettstown. Hope you have a great rest of your day.